10,407 comedians out of work. How are you?
If I was better, I'd be twins.
You miss it? I mean, it's been a while. You miss it on a day like today?
No. You know what? When you played as many games as I did, and you played as hard, I mean, when you walk away, you kind of walk away. But you know, there comes a time when you have to give the game up. And when I gave the game up, I was totally satisfied with my career and what had transpired. So, you know, you miss it a little bit, maybe like this, but you know, once this dies down, man, it's a long season.
No, I get that. I would just think if I was a former ball player, I would think the 2 days that I might get that twitch again, that memory would come back to me, would be opening day and then like a World Series. Everything in the middle is work.
Well, you know what? It's never work. But if you could go back and play a whole year and just play 2 games.
Yeah, man.
Well, the first game.
And the last.
And the last in the World Series. I'd still be playing. That's a lot of fun.
I remember when you were a player, Joe, like you, at the end of the season, you were home, right? You were back in Kansas City,
yeah.
And then they saw you on reporting day, but you were a home guy in the off season, right?
No,
you didn't have a lot to do with baseball in the off season.
No, you really because you're gone away from your family, had 3 kids and a beautiful wife, and so you're gone all those times, and so once the season is over with, I mean, you know, I'm famous for hitting the 93 home run in the World Series. And what happens the next, you know, we have the parade. I go home, you know, to this lavish,
party?
Yeah, party that they had for me and everything. And the next day, honey, you take the trash out. The floor is mopping. It's like, well, back to reality, huh? So it goes back real quick.
I'm not familiar with that home run, but I'm sure it was great.
You mentioned your kids. And Mark, we had Mark DeRosa on earlier, and he was talking about, you know, his career, and he's got little kids, and
yep.
He's thinking about what's going to happen to them. Was that something for you after you retired? That is it a matter of, for all ball players, of playing catch up?
Well, you know, it definitely is, because when you have when you play as long as I did, 16 years, you know, your wife is the one basically who takes care of the kids who are there the whole time, because we're out. You know, daddy's always gone. It's like, well, daddy's playing here, daddy's gone here. You know, when is daddy coming home? Things like that, and so you miss out on a lot of things that your kids do. Fortunately for me, we kind of had our kids kind of later in my career, so I got a chance to really enjoy them. And when I retired in 98, you know, I could have played 3 or 4 more years, I felt, because my body was still in good shape. I could still hit the ball, but I was missing all my kids' activities. And so when that happens, you're like, you know what? You know, I've spent 6, 8 months here. You know, it's time for me to go home and spend those next 4 months, you know, with my family to get reacquainted with them. So it means a lot.
Did you ever think, Joe, of moving your family up here? And there's almost no guys have ever done that who played for this team. Paul Molitor did it for a year, I think maybe 2 years, put a kid in school here. Way back when Rick Bassetti did it, but it's been something that guys, and I know the weather's crappy, but
well, it's not just the weather; it's something they call like taxes.
It's not that bad.
Was it 54%?
It's not that bad.
Back when I played, it was like 54%. So we're gonna get a little sunshine. But if I had a chance, no, Toronto would have been. It is a great place to live. But you know, my kids, they grew up in Kansas City. My wife is from there. And so that was home. So it's good to get away, you know, once the season is over with, because when you get away from something, you have a chance to miss a lot more to come back to it.
With Joe Carter. So we've talked a lot about the fact that the buzz that exists right now about this team hasn't existed since 92-93.
Mm-hmm.
There hasn't been quite this anticipation. And then secondarily, Joe, we've addressed, all right, so how important is the fact that these guys get along? And the last time we had a team, a Blue Jay team, where the turnover was literally half the team,
mm-hmm.
was 92-93.
Yeah, we had 12 guys.
12 guys, 12 different guys,
yeah.
And won back-to-back World Series with 12 different guys. Haven't seen that since then. Here we've got it again, 12 new guys on the roster. So that stupid chemistry word inside the room and over the next 6 months, what does it mean?
It you know what? It means a lot, but you have to look at your top echelon players, and I'm talking about Joey Bats, and you look at how he handles himself, because he, no doubt about it, he is the leader in that clubhouse, because he's been in the longest.
Sure has been.
You know,
yeah.
He's the name. When you say the Blue Jays, you think of Joey Bautista, and he has the right attitude. I mean, it's not like he's separate. He involves everybody. He has that charisma, that smile, that character, you know, that you're looking for, and so it makes people feel at ease. You don't want to come into a clubhouse, especially being a new guy, because you don't want to step on anyone's toes.
Yeah.
But you have to be able to come together and say and realize that, you know what, this is my clubhouse, but it's also your clubhouse. And I can give you a prime example that we just saw just recently, and you go back and you look at it, and he may not say this now, but in about 3 or 4 years he will probably say this, and I'm talking about LeBron James going to the Miami Heat. You know, that was Dwayne Wade's team. And so he had to defer,
yeah,
you know, until Dwayne Wade deferred to him and say, you know what, LeBron, you go ahead and take over. Because now they get down to the fourth quarter, you know, who takes the last shot? It was always D. Wade.
Yeah.
But now you got a guy like LeBron, and he doesn't want to come in and step on D. Wade's toes, because, you know, that's kind of dissing the guy who was there before. So that's what they had to go through. And, you know, right here with it being 162 ball games, I think it's going to be fine, because these guys are talented. You know, just don't get caught up in all this hype, because, you know, it's one game. People say, oh, I'm going to open day. I'm like, fine, you're going to open day. I need tickets. What about the second day? Mm-hmm. You know, those tickets available,
well, yeah,
second day, third,
yeah,
day. You know, you keep going.
So whose room was it in 1992 when all of a sudden half the team was different? Was it yours?
You mean from 92 to 93?
Yeah.
Well, from,
was that your room?
It was a few guys. Myself, Robbie, Devon White.
Jack
Morris. I mean, you go from 92 to 93, and the biggest thing that happened to us was losing the ALCS in 91, because from that last day, it was like myself and Pat Tablin and a few other guys, we got together and said, you know what, we're winning the whole thing next year. And we learned that from the very last game when we got beat by Minnesota. And so we took that from the offseason and reminded everybody from day one of spring training that was what our goal was to be, 3-for-3 in 92. And so then going from 92, and then we got Dave Winfield.
Yeah.
And Dave was the perfect guy, because this guy, 6'6", about 250, and while we were out there playing on the field, the pitchers who never wanted to go out there and cheer for anybody, Big Dave was in there kicking butt, getting them out on the bench, said, you go out there and you cheer for those guys, because they're going to be cheering for you. And so now, all of a sudden, while we're on the field, those guys can't be slacking. You know, they go outside. They go in there, and Dave is kicking them outside. So all of a sudden, you look on there, and the bench is full. Everybody's pulling for one another.
So you lose Winfield. So Winfield leaves because of a contract thing. So you lose a strong personality. You lose some other guys. Jimmy Key's gone. And you bring in some, you know, strong personalities. Stewart comes in. Molitor comes in.
Yeah.
Ricky comes in later in the season. So, you know, some guys, you know, Ricky shows up in the clubhouse. You notice that he's there. How long did it take to kind of find a different mix and a different balance with the new guys?
It probably took about 2 days of spring training.
Really?
And that was it. Because all those guys that we knew, Dave Stewart, we knew what approach he had to the ball game, what he brought to the ball game in the clubhouse, you know, that death stare that he had on the mound. But we knew what he was all about. Paul Molitor, Hall of Famer. We knew what he was all about. You know, he killed us every time he played against us, so we were happy to get him on our team. So, you know, that was an easy transition. And so, you know, having 12 different guys come over, and all of a sudden we say, you know what, let's win one for Paul. You know, that was what kept us going, said, we're going to win one for Molitor. And, you know, and Molitor felt the pressure because, you know, the first month he was terrible. You know, if you go back, mm-hmm, and ask him, because he, you know, when you get traded, when you come to a new ball club, you want to prove yourself. And that's what he was trying to do, and he was really trying to do too much. And after the first month, I remember we were in the on-deck circle, and I said, hey, you can just relax. Just go out there and get you a couple of hits. And you can see him just like, okay. And then he just went off. And that's the type of player that he was. But that's what these guys have to worry about, not trying to go out there and do too much, because you can get in that mode where I'm going to show the Torontonians that I can play this game.
So a lot of folks are very excited about this team, and I,
yeah,
think understandably. Is there something about this new lineup that you think is really exciting?
All phases. I mean, you got a guy like Jose Reyes. I mean, you know, I don't watch a lot of baseball, you know, but when I do watch baseball, I'm always seeing him, you know, because he's that type of an impact player. You look at R.A. Dickey, you know, I mean, great knuckleball. He throws all the other pitches too. I mean, and you listen to the way they articulate, the way they talk. You know, they've been, you know, running all the on the media. You know, I've seen the interviews. He's got it down. And he says, look, I'm not promising nothing, but, you know, this feels good. and that's the way you do it. But you can't believe the hype. You can't get caught up in all the hype. You just got to go out there and say, look, it's one game. I know it's the old cliche, and reporters hate it. You know, the media hates it. They say one game at a time, and it is that. But deep down, these guys know that this could be something special. You know, is it a little bit overhyped right now? Well, it's a little bit of excitement. It's like, you know, at Christmas time when you got a new toy. You want to hurry up and open it up, you know, but, you know, let it kind of ride. It's
well, I was going to say, I mean, you look around here and all, there's a lot of people around here. There's cameras, microphones, all sorts of stuff going on. We're here. Was it the same in 92 or was it different? Was it scaled down?
It was different. I think it was different because of what had happened from 85 to 89. Mm-hmm. You know, the Sky Dome at the time opened up in 89. Right. Yeah. They won the division, in 89? And so 91, you know, it was what, you know, we were used to. So you didn't have all this until really the World Series, because that was the goal, to get to the World Series, which the Blue Jays had never been. Once we got to that World Series, then it just all blew up. It was like, you know, just total chaos. And, you know, by that time, we were already in the World Series, so it was great. But not quite like the buzz like this, like it is here on opening day.
Joe, when I hear guys talk this year about John Gibbons, some of them just getting to know John this spring, I hear a lot of the same things I heard guys say about Cito Gaston. You know, players, manager, guy treats you like an adult, expects you to show up and do your work, but he's not going to micromanage and get in your face. What's it like playing for a guy like that?
Well, you have to love that, because, you know, everything you do is not going to be second-guessed. You're not going to be looking back over your shoulders like, is he going to take me out because he's got this new theory as to, you know, well, this guy can't hit at this certain time and everything. And Cito was like that. Cito was like, you know what, you go out there and play. As long as you have a plan and as long as you hustle, I'm not going to have any problem with you. You go out there and you play the game. And you've got to be put in those positions to, you know, so you can have success. And even if you fail, at least you're going to learn from that. So what John is saying, I like what he's saying, is like, don't believe the hype. You know, don't believe the hype. Just go out there and play. And that's what they cannot get caught up in is all the hype, because then you lose focus and you cannot win a world championship on day one of the season. You can't do that. And if you lose, it should not be the end of the world. And that's what you have to stay away from.
Before we let you go, 21 years ago, you make the final out at first base in Atlanta.
Yes.
How many times did you play first base that year?
Not too many.
I don't remember
too many.
Not too many.
But how
but
I
there
came,
you were.
Yeah, there I was. And I remember in the eighth inning, I'm looking up, and I'm like, sixth game of the World Series, Jimmy Keyes on the mound. I'm like, what the heck am I doing at first base? You know, the biggest game of my career.
I got to tell you, I thought the same thing. It's all right. I'm glad you said it first. But it worked out. And then Timlin comes on, and Timlin takes that little push
little
bunt,
butt.
And he flips it over to you, and
yep.
You jump up and down.
Yep.
There's a somewhat different, but...
I like to jump.
An eerie similarity to a year later.
Yeah.
And you're at the end of another World Series, not making the final out, but hitting the home run that wins the World Series to beat the Phillies. Is it possible to compare the two? Was the first one better because it was the first? Was the second one better because it was so filled with drama and you were the center of it?
You know what? The first one, it was great, because it got the monkey off our backs.
It did that.
Because, you know, when you have that 500-pound gorilla, you know, like the Blue Jays, they should have been there in 85, didn't get there. So you have all that lingering in the background. Can they do it? And when you finally do it, it's like the weight of the world is lifted off your shoulders. So you really don't have time to enjoy it or relish the moment. You know, 92 was great, but I think we really had a chance to enjoy 93. The whole season was awesome. And we sit back and we say, you know what, this is fun. And we had a chance when we clinched against the White Sox in Game 6 over in Chicago. It was great. And then coming to the World Series, all the pressure, we had a chance to really enjoy what we were doing by playing in the World Series. But nothing ever like that first time.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard from people that, you know, my first grade teacher, you know. Yeah. I heard from people I had never heard from in about 30 years, it seemed like. And they remembered, and they see me on TV there in the World Series. That the first one is always the best.
Who knows? Maybe we'll be back here in October looking at another one.
That sounds good.
Thanks a lot, Joe.
All right, thank
Great
you, guys.
Great to see you, pal.
All right.
Thanks, Joe.
Uh-huh.
Joe Carter. We've got more ahead. It's opening day. Primetime Sports continues on the Fan Radio Network and Sportsnet.
Trending now on Sportsnet 5.